And now, from the Mammoth Oasis, it's not the Sports Widow, but we're taking her music. It's the Sports Dumpcast with Joe Canale and Ephraim Salaam. I got the clapping in there. This is our old school opening, folks. I am Joe Canale, and I am joined with Ephraim Salaam, co-host of the Sports Dump. Now, some of you may not know, but that music that we just had playing back there is the original music to the Sports Widow podcast from years ago. We abandoned that for a kind of multi-track extravaganza that I've been told is deafening and anxiety causing. So we're going to eliminate that. It's gone. One of the many changes, hopefully for the better. So we got, thank God for a couple things. I mean, maybe many things. But in this instance, for this podcast today, LeBron James and soccer are the things that are our saviors for the next month or so. Because I was thinking just moments ago, maybe 20 minutes ago, like, if not for LeBron being a free agent, like, off-season news, really, nobody cares about hockey. Football news is all done. Baseball's in the middle of its shittiness. The dead zone. And, like, and there's a few. There's the one right after the Super Bowl is pretty dead, too. But off-season news is always interesting if there's somebody interesting to talk about. Next year, Bryce Harper in baseball will be interesting. The Cubs will probably get him. But LeBron, same track as the World Cup every 4 years, you get a LeBron free agent frenzy that keeps the summer interesting. And yes. And basketball has become the most, a lot on LeBron's shoulders, but the Durant move too, but has become the most interesting off-season sport.
Yeah, because they really take advantage of upward mobility.
Yep, right. Yes.
Like, they used to have a thing called the Larry Bird rule that kept great players on their teams.
Right. Yes. But yeah, pre-free agency stuff and everything like that.
Pay their star player more than another team would be able to.
No wonder. Okay. Ephraim's been a little low volume because it was off, and that's my fault as the engineer. Luckily, I was talking so much in the first 2 minutes that you didn't miss
it. It didn't
much.
Matter, yeah.
But you were saying the Larry Bird rule.
I was saying that upward mobility is a huge part of the NBA, more so than any other sport, because guys are now what they call, you know, guys spend a lot of time together in the offseason.
Yep.
So they come up with these ideas that, hey, let's play together.
Yep.
And beforehand, you didn't see that. Teams were The Larry Bird was implemented. The Larry Bird rule was implemented to where teams could pay their own star players much more than right. another team could.
Which was an incentive for the player to stay.
Yes. So I'll give you, for example, a team can sign their player to a 5-year, $160 million deal, where another team will only be able to sign them to a 4-year. $120 million deal.
Yes, right. And those are huge differences. And you know, that extra year, that last year, in most cases for a big contract, is going to occur on the down end of your career.
Right.
So you're not getting that kind of money if you come out after year four and go for a new contract. You know what I mean? Like, you might sign a 3-year contract, but it wouldn't be for that type of money.
Unless you're the greatest player on the planet.
Well, sure.
Like,
well, LeBron's going to get a max
He's
all the time.
He's going to get a max deal no matter where he goes.
And the other thing in the NFL.
Which is crazy in year 15.
But not in the NFL, rather. Yes, it is crazy. There's a lot of crazy. I mean, LeBron, it's not like he wasn't different from day one.
He is different.
He is super, super different. But he's the max contract in the NBA is not what those players are worth. You know, you can never pay a guy like LeBron what he's worth.
No, absolutely.
With the salary caps and all that.
Right. Think about this. When LeBron leaves Cleveland
yep.
this year, their market value would decrease.
There's
to
no
$300
if there.
Million dollars.
Yes. Right.
How about that?
Yes. Gilbert should have sold the team this year.
Absolutely. I would have sold it. You know when I would have sold the team? After they won the championship.
Yeah.
I would have been out.
Right.
I'm going to cash in. I'm going.
And if not that
stuff.
Moment, as soon as Durant signs with Golden State, that's when. Right? You know, like a few weeks later, it's like, oh, it ain't getting better than this.
Yeah, because.
Yeah. And then he probably could have. He's from Detroit. He probably could have just bought the Pistons then for, you know, half of what he paid for the Cavs. And then once LeBron leaves, they're the same team, essentially.
It's the same team.
You know, actually, Detroit would be better just because I'd rather have Blake Griffin than Kevin Love, I guess.
Yeah, I think most people would.
Yeah, I think so. So that's at least interesting. You know, where he's going to go, I don't even know. But what is interesting about LeBron is that he is so great and so different that wherever he goes, they're a contender. Sacramento, Phoenix. If he goes there, they are a contender.
Yes.
Not only because of him, but because of his gravity, which will bring other players. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been saying for months, Chris Paul, LeBron James to the Lakers. That's my call. Been making it for months. I'm sticking to that.
How about Chris Paul, LeBron James, and Paul George?
So that means, the Lakers have to trade somebody.
Well, we already know Randall is.
Yeah,
he won't be re-signed.
No, if not, if they're going to do this thing,
right? And then they probably,
if they're getting those three, they can get rid of Brandon Ingram.
I doubt if they really like Ingram. So the three players that they really like are Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, and Lonzo Ball.
Right, but they'd have to trade one of those three.
But everybody else can go. But you don't really have to trade one of those three because you have all three of them are on rookie deals.
Yeah.
Right? So you're not paying them anything.
No. Here's what I think Cleveland, here's what could happen. Paul George can just sign.
Right.
Chris Paul can opt out and sign. LeBron can opt out and sign, but they can't get all three of those guys. So somebody has to do like a sign and trade.
Right.
So I guess LeBron could do like a sign and trade where he goes to the Lakers and then let's say Kuzma, Randall, and then they'd have to take Luol Deng, which is better than nothing. Kuzma and Randall are better than nothing.
Right.
And they're on relatively cheap contracts. Kuzma certainly is. Luol Deng will put Cleveland into the luxury, I think, again. And then they'll be in the luxury and not
have any
chance
benefits.
Of being. Yeah. So I don't know if they would do that. That would be crazy. To me, Paul George is the least
attractive of
those three guys. Now, Chris Paul, his record is not any better. But, man, the tough luck injuries that he's had.
It just becomes part of your career.
Yeah.
So you can't look.
Because there hasn't been a playoff series. If he, like,
it's never been a playoff series where he's been healthy through the whole time.
Nope. And ultimately, his injuries have ended those seasons.
Yes.
It happened to the Clippers.
100%.
Yep. And they were up. Like, that is the thing that I hate. And injuries like that always happen where game basically in hand, game five. Well, it was 30 seconds left, and he's doing a layup, and he hurts himself, and he's out.
Do you know where LeBron should really go?
Miami?
No. No one would expect it, but it would make a huge impact on the landscape.
New York?
Especially in the West.
Golden State?
No.
Don't say Houston.
No. I'll give you one more guess. Think outside the box.
Portland?
Nope. New Orleans.
Oh.
You put LeBron James with Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday.
Yeah. And they get some you just get shooters. You get your Korver whatever's around there.
You have a situation. LeBron James and Anthony Davis with Drew Holiday as well as he's played all-star level this year.
How do they get him? Well, Boogie. They could sign and trade Boogie.
Well, they definitely would sign and trade Boogie. So now Cleveland gets
Boogie?
Right? That's going to happen anyway.
Boogie's not going to be happy in Cleveland.
No. But that's going to happen anyway, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're
Oh, man.
they're not keeping Boogie Cousins.
You think they're gonna?
Well, they are. They were.
Well, he's hurt too. That's too bad. He's such a good player.
Trade him before the trade deadline, before he got hurt.
Yeah, yeah. He would have been like Bradley Beal. That would have been, I think, an interesting trade. Because then you give John Wall a big guy who can do stuff, and you give another shooter to New Orleans. And Boogie's a little bit of a kind of a like redundant on Anthony Davis.
Well, yeah, it's hard to have the. That's why they got so much better when he got hurt. You know, you never like to say that,
right?
But you spread the floor, and the ball movement was faster.
And Mirotić just plays outside.
Just that's it.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
So you put LeBron James on that team.
That's a real because really, if LeBron wants to play, so let's say LeBron's one of the unarguably one of the top three players in the league.
Well, he is.
Yeah, of course. And so is Kevin Durant, and I guess so is Anthony Davis. Would we say that's our top three?
Yes, right.
And then you have guys like, you know, Westbrook, Curry, Harden, Kawhi, if he ever plays again, stuff like that in the next tier there. But yeah, you're right. For LeBron to have an opportunity to play with another top three guy, he ain't going to play with Durant. That would be crazy. That would be awesome. But again, that's the fun of LeBron, because that team had never occurred to me.
Right.
But like, what if he goes to Denver with Jokic, who's a real good post player and a passer, and they got some shoot, like, if you plug LeBron in anywhere.
I just don't think he'll go to a place like Denver.
No, you're right.
Right. Like, New Orleans is sexy. It's New Orleans. I don't know if his family would like it.
Yeah.
I know he's big on what's good for his family right now. That's why L.A. makes the most sense.
Yes.
We know that they spend the offseason out here in L.A.
Right. And there are rumors about his kid.
Son enrolled in school and so on and so forth.
And he has ambitions to get into the business out here.
Yeah, if you really want to know, all you have to do is do some research on the top high schools and their coaches.
Yeah.
Because LeBron wants to play in the pros with his son.
Right.
So in order for that to happen, he has to be in a high school where his coach is an excellent coach, right? Yep. And can develop his son.
Yep.
And allow his son to develop.
Right.
Like he needs to.
Well, and there in those schools, it's weird. Remember, like Oaks Christian Academy, and I think Virginia was one of those basketball powerhouses.
Oak Hill.
That's I think what it is. Oak Hill Academy. And that's one of the first ones I remember.
St. Joseph's in New York.
Yep. And there's these big, you know, in football you hear about it too. There's Modern Day out here. There's St. John Bosco is like a big one. There's one in Las Vegas that Nick Gates and all those guys play in at Vegas. Archbishop something.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's these big sports factory schools.
They're sports programs.
Right. And actually, there's no other profession that you're going to get that level of specific training in at that age of your life. You know, they do it in Europe with soccer and stuff,
right,
too, the academies.
Yeah, and in other countries with baseball.
Yes, and I guess they have that with some of the arts and stuff. But, yeah, other countries
with
baseball.
That's why I don't understand why people, it's not about that. Well, it is about that. If you have a child that exhibits that quality and that type of athleticism and range, then you put them in the best situation. You don't.
If he has the interest.
Right.
Although you don't want Martin.
Most kids who get that far like that.
Right.
That's what they want to do.
That's true. If you're still at an elite level of playing at 7th, 8th grade, it's hard to not love the game and still be elite
at that
point.
Yeah, because you're better than everybody else.
Right.
Right.
True. Yes.
Like, look at this kid, Zion Williamson.
Oh, the dunker. South Carolina.
Right. Like, I've been watching
him. He's going
him
to Duke.
Yeah. For 1 year. Yeah. I've been watching him since he was 14, 15 years old.
Well, he was a man at that age.
A grown man.
Yeah.
So you look at a kid like that, and you're like, well, I hope he loves it. How could he not love it? He's so much better than everyone else.
Right. And like, he is getting applause for what he does, you know, like nothing else.
No.
It's hard to get a crowd as excited as he does on his dunks, and his dunks are Look him up if you haven't. He is.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know what the other parts of his game are. Is he like a small forward? Is he like 6'8"?
Well.
Yeah. Everybody can these days.
What his high school coach did was in his AAU team, some games they allowed him to play point guard because you have to stretch the range. You have to be able to do multiple things now in the
They know. And that's what you have to give to a player as a coach. What do you think about AAU?
I like it. It's been around forever. It's been around when I was a kid. I played on the Nike AAU team, All-American AAU team, and traveled the country and stuff like that. I think it's become more business than anything else, and I think it's dangerous.
Are there? There's obviously abuses.
Definitely abuses, and the situation is that every kid, I guess if your goal is to get your kid to the NBA, then it's dangerous. But if your goal is to get your kid to a four-year college and have college paid for, then it's absolutely essential.
Do you think, and you may not know exactly, but you know probably better than I, do you think parents are able to differentiate that, or do they get unreasonable expectations?
Parents have unrealistic expectations of their children.
Because even a D1 player is probably going to be extremely dominant wherever they are. If you're good enough to do D1, in most cases, you know, there's these powerhouse schools where they may have six kids go to D1s, and so you may only average 9 points on that team. Mm-hmm. But if you were playing at Roy C. Ketchum High School in Wappingers Falls, New York, where I was, you'd average 40.
Right.
Because there's nobody like that. So it's like, no, if your kid is good enough for D1, you may not know how much better other kids are because you've never compared them to that.
Right.
You haven't seen it. You're like, how could anybody be better? Like, I remember there was a story about Manny Ramirez playing against my high school. And, you know, they had had other guys who played in the majors come through and play and dominate and stuff. But apparently he hit a baseball over, like, what they call, like, a forest behind the field. Like, and they found the ball, like, on the other side of all the trees.
The brick road.
Yeah, yeah. And they were like, they didn't imagine anyone could put it into the trees, and he put it over the trees. You know, it's like when you see, again, Zion Williamson, I think, is a really good example.
Because
14
like,
years old.
You're like, oh, he has it.
Yes, yes.
Now, all you have to do is cultivate it, right?
Right.
So you can have it, and if the kid really likes it and enjoys it, then he takes leap every year. The step forward he takes are ginormous.
Yes.
Like off the charts.
Right.
Like, wow, he's so much better than last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he enjoys doing it.
And he's just putting the time in. And he knows at this point he can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, yeah, especially with Instagram and all of that. So you look at his Instagram feed and he's posing with every single top coach.
Yeah.
They're just in his living
room. They're always there, yeah. And they all know it's for 1 year.
That's it. That's all. They don't recruit for longevity anymore.
Do you think that are you for the one and done, or do you think they should let kids in after high school?
I think they should let kids in after high school, but I think the development of the G League is much more important to that scenario.
Ah.
Because, let's face it, there are only going to be 60 kids going into the NBA in the draft every year. So that means 60 people have to come out.
Yep. Yeah.
Right? That's how small that window is.
Yeah.
So when you look at the numbers like that.
And in the league, so 12, there's really only about 400 people in the league.
Right. But there's
so 60,
roughly 300 people that enter into the draft a year.
Yeah. And which is about this, like, which you could almost turn over the whole league if they all played, but they
could.
Don't.
And that's why I think the G League, the development league, sort of like the farm system in baseball,
right.
It's very important because, look, these kids have talent, but they may not have the 60th man talent,
right? And especially at that age, there's still the potential to
grow,
improve your
and
skills
improve,
and become a roster player.
Absolutely.
Obviously, if you're going to be an all-star, they know it early at this point.
Yeah, if you are LeBron James, then okay. If you're Kobe Bryant or Kevin Garnett, then it's like, okay. Like Kevin Durant could have came out.
Yes.
You've been like, oh, this kid is
absolutely
unbelievable.
Absolutely. And I feel like DeAndre Ayton could have come out
Mo Bamba.
Those are men.
Yeah,
in their body.
Yeah, remember, there was only power forwards and centers being drafted straight out of high school before Kobe Bryant.
That's right.
Kobe Bryant and he went 14th first guard.
Or 12th or something, whatever it was.
And they were like, oh, my God, he's 6'6". And they were like, well, what is he going to do? He's not developed. He's not big enough to.
Right.
That was the perception. Like, you had to be this punk of a man, this 7 feet or 6'11 or 6'9, because they figured the taller you are, the more your body would be conducive to banging against grown men.
Yeah, and they thought he'd get beat up.
Right. Well, she didn't.
No.
So.
And his first year was like, you know, he didn't dominate, but he was 17, and he was hanging with guys.
Oh, he was playing now.
And he realized, I mean, Jerry West, genius, picked it out. I'm going to tangent again for a second because I was thinking about Zion Williamson and, you know, man-child and everything. And then there's also like the Greg Oden type of man-child.
Oh, right.
Where Greg Oden looks 45 years old. And sometimes on this podcast, often actually, we talk about stereotypes and things, and in order to get some clarity, like a phrase that I am familiar with is black don't crack. I think I've talked to you about that. And I find that to be true.
And well, it is.
It is.
Yes.
And the reasons are obvious for that, if you know anything about anything. And yet, Greg Oden looks like he's 65 years old from when he was 18.
Yes.
Like the two sides of that thing are so crazy. That black is cracked from birth.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's just such a weird thing how... He looked
like somebody's old uncle.
Really? Old? Yeah. You wouldn't have, if he was in the Uncle Drew movie, you wouldn't have had to make him up at all. It's just a weird parallel. And then there's those people who get that old disease where you like age 10 years every year.
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible. All right. I digress. Always. The other thing, we did 20 minutes on LeBron, kind of.
Just on the NBA as a whole.
It is.
It's
time. Yeah. Better than baseball. And now, are you a soccer fan?
I'm a World Cup fan.
Okay. And we did, my friend Brendan, who's a huge soccer fan, we did kind of a preview, and he does a fun thing. This is also where I realized that our intro was, I've got a lot of feedback from people in this fantasy sports league I'm in who listened for the first time, and they all said that they liked the podcast, but they were anxiety-ridden for the first 5 minutes because the opening was so cacophonous. So that's why we changed that. But he does a fun thing where he kind of compares these teams to an American franchise so you can kind of understand their history and, you know, if they're an underdog or whatever. I've become more of a soccer fan over the past few years generally, but the World Cup I've always kind of been into.
Always.
Because it's, you know, it's...
It's glorious.
It is, and it's a shame we're not in it this year.
Right.
Because a lot of people will lose interest because of that, and it won't get the publicity it deserves. But I'm excited for it, especially because of where it falls in this drought. Mm-hmm. Who's your team? Do you have a team this year?
I like Brazil.
Okay.
I like Neymar. But France really, they got a really good shot.
Yeah. They have some really good players.
But you never could count out Germany, you know.
Yep.
The Germans.
And they're so efficient. And Brendan was pointing out no team has ever won a World Cup off continent, except Brazil, I guess. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was pretty interesting. There might be an exception because they did one in Africa and an African team, I don't think. I think a few years ago, a team in green, was it Nigeria? They made it to the Final Four, and that may have been the furthest a team from Africa has made it. Which is weird because there's so many good players, but those countries are so small. And have changed. And another thing,
have
many
they combined,
and many of those players end up because there are still the Dutch team, the Belgian team, the French team. There are still like islands and stuff that have like colonial links.
Yes.
And so players from Africa end up going into France or whatever because, like, you know, 200 years ago, somebody shipped one of their relatives up there or whatever. And that has both weakened the African nations.
Slavery. It's fine. It's, you can say that.
Do the Europeans call it that? I'm sure they have some other, you know, like
some importing. Some other term for slavery.
Yes, right. Yes. A forced importation of of labor. but that has both weakened the African nations and strengthened and let some of those other nations continue to
go on. Welcome to the microcosm of America.
I know. But I also want to talk. So, yeah, that I think Brazil's always a fun team to root for. I'm going for Argentina because I like Messi. Molly ended up picking Belgium just out of randomness. Kind of Brendan convinced her with some of the arguments about Belgium. And then, yeah, without Italy, it's sad. Without America. And we did really well against France in the send-off game.
Yeah, we did.
With a team of youngsters. And France wanted to win that game because they want, you know, it's like homecoming. They want to go on to their thing. So that's encouraging and discouraging. And then Spain fired their coach. Undefeated coach they fired. And the joke we told yesterday was proving how little a soccer coach does. You know, like if you can fire
now,
this guy.
Because now a player is coaching them.
It's not, right. It's not doing a lot for the reputation of soccer if Spain wins the World Cup here.
With a player coach.
Right.
It's like, what is happening right now?
Now, in American sports, this did happen. I knew this fact, but I did hear it on ESPN, so I don't want anyone to be like, oh, you're using other stats. But let's face it, everybody gets their stats from ESPN. But when Michigan fired Bill Frieder and Fisher took over and they won with, was it Robinson? Was Glenn Robinson on that team?
No, Glenn Robinson went to Purdue.
Not Glenn Robinson. Ramil Robinson, the point guard. And then who was the shooter? Just Glenn Rice was on that Michigan team. So they fired their coach right before the tourney, and Fisher took him to the title. So there is precedent for that. And it happens in hockey, I feel like, every 4 or 5 years. A team gets into the playoffs, and then they fire their coach, and then that team goes, like, to the finals.
Player coaches that win championships before.
Bill Russell.
Bill Russell was the first African-American head coach in the NBA and a player.
And a player coach and title winner.
Yep.
We could talk about winners, and the episode would mostly have to be about him and Secretariat, probably. One more thing I want to talk about in the World Cup is that also the U.S. and Mexico and
Canada
got the World Cup. Mostly the U.S. We have 60 of the 80 games, and 10 is plenty for Canada.
Yeah.
And 10 is, Mexico probably could have done with 15 or so, or 20 even, because it's such a big soccer.
I think it's good.
And shit, we have stadiums. We could do it today. You could do any World Cup here in a minute. We'd have spare stadiums.
They're everywhere.
Like, just Texas. And that's the thing that's crazy here I want to talk about. Because throughout the first game of the World Cup was today, and it's Russia and Saudi Arabia. So the three people sitting up there are Vladimir Putin, whoever the crown prince of Saudi Arabia is, and the head of FIFA. Three of the most corrupt individuals alive today. Like there just must be an aura of, you know, evil surrounding that room. And they just kept cutting to them. And Morocco was the other finalist. And what is Morocco like? Morocco's like the Rhode Island of Africa, right?
They would have to start building stadiums now.
Yes, and where would they put them in that? That's the kind of thing that Morocco, whoever was in charge of the bid and all the payoffs, they get all that money. It happens in 2026 when those people are on their yachts or whatever. And then Morocco afterwards has built all these stadiums. You're not going to start a Moroccan soccer league that's going to rival the Premier League, and yet you're going to have the stadiums to do it.
It's just like the Winter Olympics in Sochi.
They just got it right.
They built all of these 5-star hotels and all of this and these Olympic villages and arenas for the Winter Olympics. Yeah, they're sitting empty.
Who in Russia is going to go there?
Sochi.
Yes.
For anything.
Especially because it's a summer resort.
Like Ritz-Carlton.
Yes.
Empty. No, every room is available.
You know, folks, I bet there's cheap flights. I mean, that's the kind of thing to do. Like, to go tourists, go to China after they had the Olympics, yeah, to all those places. You're right. It's crazy, all that. How it's just so big, and it's so evil, and it's so corrupt, and it's so obvious.
A lot of corruption.
But it just can't be stopped. Can't. It's so huge.
Because it's been like that since the beginning of FIFA and soccer. That's just how it is.
And they've built it into this, and they folded it into these governments. And it does, FIFA to me still has a lot of those kind of weird colonial relationships where it's like they'll buy off 30 African small countries by giving them, you know, $1 million.
And water.
Right. Well, it'd be okay if they gave them water, right, actually.
But they only give them a year's supply of bottled water.
Right, 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 right.
And then you're on your own.
Yes. But it's just so obvious, and like, yes, we won the vote, but just the fact that it would come to a vote between a country where you could just set it up right now, don't have to do any changes, or a country that you're going to have to bankrupt, basically.
Right.
Oh, well.
Moroccan population, what is that?
I'm going to guess it's like less than 2 million, maybe 3 million.
Hey, Siri, what is the population of Morocco?
I'm glad that there aren't other things. Here we go. 3 million. Hey Siri, what is the population of Morocco? Maybe.
Okay.
They took the whole phrase.
Yes. 3 million people.
3 million. All right. So there's 3 million people in like, what, 4 or 5 U.S. cities?
No, it's 36 million.
Oh.
People.
36 million. Well, still doesn't do it.
No, it does not.
Mexico City has that many people. There we go. And they'll probably have a few matches. Well, we left you with a little information there at the end, folks, so you now know how many people live in Morocco. So try to share that fact today. And let you know that we have a show, if you're in the Los Angeles area, on the 20th of June. That's next Wednesday, 9 p.m. at the Second City Hollywood. You can call the Second City Hollywood by looking up the number. I don't have it right now. Or you can ask me on our Twitter feed, or on Facebook or anything, and I'll get you all that info. In fact, if you listen to this and want to come to the show, you can have a comp. So just text or tweet or whatever me, and you'll get one. All right. Thank you, Ephraim, as always. Always interesting and fun. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye.